Stuff just keeps rolling in like a tide of effluvia or even garbage. Just story after story here. The big deal today, of course, in terms of comedy, Mittens. Willard called it quits today, which is too bad because his parting speech in front of the, what are they called? B-PAC, C-PAC, six-PAC? What is the conservative? To me, it's like a Republican a mutual masturbatory society, but I guess they call it CPAC? Yeah, okay. Mitt's parting speech at CPAC today was so entertaining. It was so over the top. It was so astonishing that the delegates to CPAC loved it, because that's what they're about. They love to see imitation people talk about imitation things. That's the reason they loved Ronald Reagan so much. But too bad Willard dropped out. We could have really had some fun with him over the next 9 months. Ah, you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. Well, wait till 2012. He'll be back.
He'll be back.
Welcome again to the L.A. Truth Seekers, listening tonight on 1150 AM KTLK. So glad you're spending some time with us tonight. We'll try not to ruin your dinners, but warning, we do have some Mittens audio for you tonight, so have a barf bag or Rolaids or whatever handy just in case. This guy is a piece of work. The reason he dropped out is because the terrorists are going to get us if he didn't. Son of a bitch. I can't believe this guy. Anyway, in a program note, Sam Cedar, our good friend Sam Cedar, from Air America. I hate that network. But Sam, I love the people that work there. I just hate the network. Sam Cedar will sit in for me tomorrow night while I sit around the house watching television and drinking Jack Black and taking Friday off. Just kidding. I have some implant surgery tomorrow. Mouth, you know, implant, mouth. teeth. All right? And I'll be back. I'll be back Monday. Yeah, I've got to have a couple more of these done. I try to do the show tomorrow night, but one talk show host popping Vicodin during the breaks is enough for the country, don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you about John McCain.
God, I hate that guy. Like I said, stuff rolling in. Our good friend Bob, right before the program, sent me this. We're not the only dumb country. There was a study commissioned by a television network in the UK, and they asked people about, you know, they would name a character and say, is this character real or fictional? And some of these I've never heard of, but like Dick Turpin. Who in the hell is Dick? Who's Biggles? I have no idea. But the top 10 fictional characters that the British public thinks are real. They think 65% of the British public think King Arthur is real. 58% think Sherlock Holmes is real. 51% think Robin the Hood is real. 47% think Eleanor Rigby is real. 35% think the Mona Lisa is real. 17% think the Three Musketeers are real. 12% think Lady Godiva was real. And 5% think Robinson Crusoe was real. None of them. I left out Dick Durbin and Biggles on the assumption that most American and Canadian, Canucks know, but most Americans have no idea who Dick Turpin and Biggles are. Do you? Do you know who that is, Kathy? I don't either. Never heard of them. Anyway, now, the top, those are the ones that the British public thinks are real, and the number of members of the public who believe that way. The top 10 historical figures that the British public think are myths. Richard the Lionheart, 47% think he never existed. Well, he kind of sort of did. He led a crusade. Winston Churchill, 23% think Winston Churchill is a myth. Florence Nightingale, they think 23% think she is a myth. Bernard Montgomery, the famous British field marshal, 6% think he's a myth. Sir Walter Raleigh and the Duke of Wellington and Cleopatra, all three of those came in. 4% of the British public think they're myths. Gandhi, 3% think he's a myth. And Charles Dickens, 3%. Now, you could turn these around and say that 97% of the British public know that Gandhi is not a myth. 97% know that Charles Dickens is not a myth. But it's so much fun when you do it the other way, right? Stupid people. I can't believe that. I'll tell you what. Make a similar list and ask Americans, is George Washington real or a myth?
Is it in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible, and what's a myth?
You got a lisp? Also, this is being reported by the International Herald Tribune. Once again, Afghanistan will produce another enormous opium poppy crop this year, close to last year's record harvest. And Europe and other regions around the globe should brace themselves for the expected influx of heroin. Afghanistan. Oh, yeah, that's right. Cultivation is still increasing in the insurgency hit south and west of the country. The report said from the United Nations, taxes on the crop have become a major source of revenue for the Taliban insurgency. Now, remember, it's the Taliban who outlawed it, and they almost got rid of it. And then, of course, we went in and butchered up and chopped up in little pieces some of the people that were sold to us as Taliban when they really weren't. Now they have former warlords and Taliban people in the Afghan parliament, which is not good enough. But the Taliban is now protecting the opium poppy growers and collecting tribute. Sounds very familiar. Let me see. Oh, yeah, that's right. That comes from my mother's side of the family, the collecting tribute.
Hey, how did you do today?
Oh, I did. I did real good.
All right. Where's mine?
Let me see. What else? What else we got here? Oh, yeah, a little factoid. Afghanistan supplies 90% of the world's opium. Ah. 9,000 tons in 2007, there were 9,000 tons of opium produced. Holy jumping. Wow. And what else we got here? Yeah, the big story to me today was Romney. We were out and about in the van, and of course we have Sirius satellite radio in the van free. Which I think we're certainly entitled to. I mean, why not? What would it normally cost? Was it $12 a month? So we were listening on Sirius satellite radio to CNN when Mitt Romney came bouncing up the steps. God, that guy irritates me. But the conservatives love him because he's a perfect Ronald Reagan cardboard cutout. He's empty-headed. He's very cute. He has a nice smile. He's got great hair. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about anything, which is great because then conservatives can write upon his blank slate that which they care to write. Like Reagan, he's completely turned against the people who put him into power. Reagan used to be a Democrat, and he used to be a union member, Screen Actors Guild, as a matter of fact. He used to be a real American, really hated the Nazis. Then he became a spy. He flipped over the Nazi side, became a spy for Herbert during the bad old 40s and 50s, and then started ratting out his union members. And, yeah, you know the story, or at least you should know the story. Well, Mitt Romney is just as much of a turncoat. He was for this and for that and for the other thing. No problem with civil rights for people who happen to be gay. No problem with gun control measures. No problem with a woman's right to privacy. No problem, no problem, no problem. Until all of a sudden someone whispered in his ear, Mitt, you're not running for governor of Massachusetts. You're running for president in the Republican Party. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I've always been against queers and abortions. And also, I like guns. I love guns. I have more guns. I have guns coming out my ears. I have guns in my ass. I have guns in my shoulder pads. I have guns all over the place. I'm loaded with guns. One of the reasons the right wing doesn't like what's his name? Who's the POW? Oh, McCain. One of the reasons they don't like him is because somehow I heard today he was instrumental in
getting a rule, a regulation, a bill, I don't even know what it was, passed that tightened up restrictions or introduced a couple of restrictions on people who buy guns at gun shows. You know, like something really radical and insane, like you still have to go through a background check, instant background check. Oh, well. So there you have it, kind of a, that's the program tonight. If I can do it in 14 minutes, what the hell's the point in continuing? Oh, what the hell. Stick around, I'm Mike Malloy, this is Nova M Radio.
Poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Got to work together to eradicate poppy. The country is quite famous for growing pomegranates.
Yes, yep.
Or honeydew melons.
On what used to be solid ground. Here, smoke a honeydew melon. Oh, my God. Oh, this guy just cracks me up. Come on, admit it. Except for the murder and the lies and the environmental destruction and the fact that the planet is spinning out of control, you're really going to miss George Bush, aren't you? Huh? No, you're not. We'll get to McCain in a few minutes, but Limbaugh now is you know, the whale man, the guy whose cochlear implants pop out every time his face gets red. That's what Mr. Smerdley does. He comes around with a little broom and a little dustpan, a little mini dustpan about the size of the palm of your hand, and sweeps up the cochlear implants and stuffs them back in with an ice pick. But Limbaugh is now saying that McCain is a threat to the American way of life as we've always known it. James Dobson of Focus on the Freaks says he won't vote if McCain's the nominee because of McCain's failure to back a constitutional amendment to kill all the queers, and also, don't forget, for his foul and obscene language. Oh, my God, these people crack me up. Oh. And the Democrats, meanwhile, are you know, with Romney getting out today, it's just like, oh, my God, now what do we do? Because, let's face it, Clinton and Obama are just about dead even, 50-50, and it's not going to change, okay? It will not change. You know, I said the other night McCain was going to be the Republican Party nominee. Wow, man, that's really insightful. But you know what I'm saying. It's normally it's stupid to make predictions in the realm of politics. But Obama and Hillary are going to go to the convention. It's going to be up to the superdelegates. And I'll tell you, one group is going to get pissed off. I've already gotten so many hate emails, mild, not life-threatening, but just hate-filled emails from women who just absolutely can't stand my position on Hillary. They can't handle the facts. They just can't handle that. Like, I make this stuff up. Like, I go into the congressional record and I change her voting record and then come on the air and talk about it. Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So what some of the women who have written to me want me to do is ignore all that factual stuff and just go with the flow. Now, as far as Barack Obama is concerned, I'm really being you know, accused of being a Barack aficionado, and I'm not. You know, Kucinich was my guy, and then Edwards was my guy, and then none of the above was my guy. And the more I listen to Barack Obama, though, I realize that if he's light on substance, he certainly is has an abundance of enthusiasm and a positive feeling. And there's something wrong with that? Anyway, so the Democrats are split. You know what somebody's going to suggest? And this is where the Democratic Party once again goes down in flames. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Someone's going to suggest that the Michigan and Florida primaries that were held last week, out of sequence, vis-a-vis the diktat from the Democratic National Committee, since they held their primaries out of sequence, didn't go along with what the DNC told them to do, none of their delegates counted, remember? Consequently, people like Barack Obama didn't even bother camp. I don't think his name was even on the ballot in Michigan. The only name, I think, the only name on the ballot was Hillary Clinton's. In Florida, it always comes down to Florida, doesn't it? Oh, my God. In Florida, who won in Florida? I think Hillary won in Florida. But remember what the DNC said. They don't count. Those votes don't count. So here's what the DNC better do, and they better do it damn well fast. They better allow those two states to hold another primary. Both states, another primary. Now, that's going to cut the vote in half, at least. People have already done this, been there, done that. The weather in Michigan is horrifying. But if they don't do that, you see, what are they going to do with the delegates who don't count in Michigan and Florida? What happens? Those delegates go to the convention, and it's a brokered convention. All of a sudden, Howard Dean or somebody stands up at the podium and says, look, we've changed our minds. These votes are going to count, which means Hillary Clinton gets all of Michigan. Now, what do you think will happen in that glorious, explosive moment? 3, 2, 1. You're right. Half the delegates would get up and walk out. So, once again. Now, you want to blame this on Karl Rove? Nah, don't waste your time. Put the blame where the blame rests, on the Democrats, on the Democratic National Committee, for after trying to dictate to the various states, this is when you're going to hold your primaries, this is how it's going to be done. And you have a couple of states like Michigan and Florida say, screw you, you know, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it our way. I mean, we're a sovereign state. We're going to do it our way. So the DNC says, okay, go ahead. Then if you do, I'll take my dollars and marbles and go home, and your delegates won't count. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. So now we're stuck with this. So what is a very possible, if not probable, outcome? That's right. President McCain!
There's fractions in my subtraction, and X don't equal Y, but my homework is bound to multiply. Math sucks. Math sucks. I'd like to burn this textbook. I hate this stuff so much.
We look forward to hearing your vision so we can more better do our job.
Okay. It's Crackers the Slipper, Ozzy the Dropsy, and Snide. 25 before the hour. Let's do your phone calls here real quick, starting with Scott, who's calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on Sirius. Hey, Scott.
Oh, hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. In talking with about the brokered convention for the Democrats, you need to know that I'm probably best described as a militant lefty. I'm mostly just sitting back waiting for the time when it torches and pitchforks are the way to get things accomplished. But
yeah, okay.
That being said, I think I'm so militant that if this convention gets brokered in a way that I think is funny, and I'm particularly worried about the Clinton machine, you know, seating delegates that weren't supposed to count and that kind of thing. Not only will I not vote for a Democrat, I'll cross the aisle and vote for a Republican just to punish the Democrat.
Well, what about the rest of the country, though? You'll be punishing all of us if you do that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I'm starting to think that the Democrats need to lose. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, but what about all the children and orphans and old ladies in the country who will sink beneath a tidal wave of Republican insanity if you do that? You realize, don't you, that the future of this country rests on your shoulders.
I know, but I'm starting to think that to save the body, we might have to cut off the arm. And
okay, just but are you going to cut off the head?
Well, I guess if I thought voting for the Democrats would make it difficult.
I'll tell you, maybe we could compromise here. Maybe I understand your rage, your fury, your disgust, and your willingness to pick up the pitchforks and the flaming torches. But maybe the best way to handle it, if it works out the way you just described, is just on election day, you know, go have a beer, hang out with friends. But oh God, don't vote for a Republican. That would be, that'll get you. Are you Catholic?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm a
proud atheist like you.
Oh, okay. Well, then it won't get you extra time anywhere. But if you're a Catholic, I'd say it gets you extra time in purgatory. But I mean, that may be what I have to do if I feel like the Democratic nominee has been forced in a non-democratic way. And I don't care who it is. It could be Clinton or Barack or somebody who jumps up out of the weeds at the last minute. But if that's the case, then I'm taking my precious little vote and going out to play on that day. But I would never vote Republican. I mean, I just couldn't. I couldn't live with myself.
Well, yeah, and I certainly, it would be a disgusting option. I guess the only reason I would even consider it is that, you know, the Democrats just don't seem to be getting the message that, you know, we didn't elect them at the midterm to, you know, get up there and namby-pamby and mealy-mouth about why they need 60 votes.
Right.
You know, if they're not going to do it, maybe they need to spend some more time in the wilderness.
Well, don't misunderstand. I completely agree with you. It's just that if the Democratic Party is sent into the wilderness, then we all have to go along because whether we want to go in the wilderness or not. On the other hand, your MO of flaming torches and pitchforks may be ultimately the way we have to go. There is a very good chance that the Democratic Party, for all intents and purposes, is a corpse. It's dead. It has been inhaled by the Republican Party and is now nothing more than a lifeless appendage attached like some kind of a succubus to the Republican Party. And if that's the case, and it may well be, then let me know where I get my pitchfork and who's going to light my flaming torch, and I'm right there with you, Scott.
Well, yeah, and the fear I have is that, you know, this is just a shell game where we may as well be voting, you know, for our favorite color, whereas the result is the same. You know, all these guys are suckling off the same corporate teat. And, you know, this is all just to make us feel better.
I hear you. I hear you. I do understand. All right, Scott, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Stay in touch, all right?
I enjoy the show.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Now I get a bunch of emails about my negativity, right?
You're always negative, you son of a bitch. Can't you ever say anything good about anything? Huh?
Why do you hate America?
Why do you hate America?
And middle-aged white women.
Yeah, middle-aged white women.
I don't know. I don't know why I do. Gary is calling from Indiana. What's the name of your town? Corydon?
Corydon.
Corydon. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I was interested. You said earlier that you thought the Democratic thing would go all the way to convention, and there's something that has happened that I've seen on the news. You know, Hillary's had to loan her own campaign $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to what you think as to whether or not she can actually if it continues as long as everybody thinks, how can Hillary continue to do that? I mean, she's only got a finite amount of money.
Well, the update to that I heard late this afternoon was that as a result of her arranging $5 million from her own money into her campaign, that there's been a tremendous uptick now in contributions coming in via the Internet and coming in via just regular campaign contribution circles. I would imagine that any candidate eventually, it's the truth, runs out of money. Mitt Romney spent, $40 million and wound up with, Butkus. As far as McCain was broke several months back. Remember, he didn't have any money whatsoever to even put an ad on the air. Where was it? South Carolina, someplace. So I think Hillary Clinton's campaign is... corporate America is not going to let Hillary Clinton's campaign crash and burn.
Well,
they just won't.
So. Well, the thing is, though, Mike, I mean, the way I look at it is this. I mean, you know, corporate America, they've all given her all this money.
Right.
I mean, they've already given her the maximum amount they can give her. I mean, yes, she can get a few contributions from people, you know, that are from women and whoever that are out there that support her.
Mm-hmm.
But Brock has 500,000 people or somewhere around that number who've given him like $25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's you know, he raised $37 million, $32 or $37 million in January alone.
Right.
You know, and she has people now who are not being paid.
Well, no, that
that was the same as Giuliani.
That changed late today too, Gary. The top people in her campaign decided to forego their February paychecks, and now all of a sudden there's funny. Look, let me just put it this way: Hillary Clinton is a extremely viable political candidate. She may wind up as president of the United States. I would not worry about her money situation. I don't worry about it at all. She may have, you know, put out the call for more campaign contributions, but I'll guarantee you that those contributions came in. No, I don't. There's not an ice cube's chance in hell that Hillary Clinton, or for that matter Barack Obama, either one, is going to run out of money. It's just not going to happen. The problem here, and this, I think this is obvious, as these two slug it out, they are depleting the available funds. I don't think either one of them has collected all they can collect from their supporters. But there is a point where people may not have that $100, that $50, or if it's corporate America, that $10,000 that they want to get to the campaign. So while these two are slugging it out, McCain now has absolutely nothing to do except to sit back and enjoy his status as the Republican Party nominee and save his money until after the Democratic campaign.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
So the Democrats are going to have to come up with very creative financing here over the next 3 or 4 months, however long it takes, until this is decided between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And if it goes to the convention, it goes to the convention. But
I guess I was just having wishful thinking there.
Well,
maybe so.
I'll guarantee you that Howard Dean and the movers and shakers in the Democratic Party are already sitting down while you and I are talking about it, and they're figuring out how they're going to finance either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton up to the convention and beyond. Because they're not. Democratic Party is not. They're going to do everything they can to not let this election slip past a Democrat, whether it's Clinton or Obama.
So, I sure hope so.
There you go. Thanks, Gary.
We need you for once.
hear that. Thanks for checking in, pal. Appreciate it. Take care. But although I do kind of still like Scott's idea. What's this? This is from Prairie 2. Mike, the state started, this is regarding inevitable candidate, Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, the states started jumping the dates on the primaries when it started to look like the inevitable candidate, Hillary Rodham Clinton, started to falter in Iowa. Presumably, this was the handiwork of the DLC. But the DNC, with the prodding of the other candidates, wouldn't go along. Clinton and the others took a pledge not to participate in primaries, who jumped ahead, but Clinton reneged, and now she has the delegates. Well, if that's the case, I didn't know that Clinton... Well, Clinton may have the delegates, but they're not hers officially, because the DNC has said no. But... There is still then a faction of a fifth column inside the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Leadership Conference, that is bound and determined to get a DLC person in, and that would be Hillary. Oh, I don't know. I'm just getting tired of the whole damn thing, aren't you? It's about 15 minutes before the hour. Stick around. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
Fade to black. It's not easy, baby, no. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Ten before the hour, lest I forget, don't forget, Saturday, February 23rd, mark it on your calendar. Well, no, don't mark it on your calendar. Just go to the website, 1480kphx.com, and buy a couple of tickets to the gig that is going to be held Saturday night, February 23rd, by Nova M Radio and KPHX in Phoenix. Scott Ritter and I will be there for some sort of an event. They refused to tell me what it's going to be. They just said to make sure that I come well-armed. So whatever that means, I'm not sure what that means. They're probably saying the same thing to Scott. I love Scott. I think Scott is a great American. Oh, they're talking about the right-wingers that will be protesting the event. Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, in that case, oh, hell yes. Nine before the hour, a couple of emails here very quickly. Regarding the election, Donald in Augusta, Georgia writes, Mike, I just watched the segment on Dan Abrams that he calls Bush League Justice concerning the superdelegates. I think he did a good job of tying these two issues together. This election is about two things, judges and the economy. If we let this primary get out of hand, and if we so dishearten the Democratic electorate, we will end up with McCain, who could be possibly crazier and an even worse warmonger than George Bush. Abrams pointed out that Bush has appointed over 30% of the federal judges now sitting, I think Donald means, and McCain promises more of the same. We had better get this stuff straightened out fast. I strongly supported John Edwards, but settled on Obama. For those people saying they will not vote for Obama if he wins, or will not vote for Clinton if she wins, they had better wake the hell up. This election is about so much more than which Democrat wins. It just has to be a Democrat, or else the America we knew before Bush might not ever exist again if Bush hasn't already done irreversible damage as it is. And Barry writes in what the rude pundit suggested yesterday. Rude one says, for Hillary Clinton, she should plan an exit from the race for the good of the party. Oh, yeah. Rude pundit isn't a magician, but he would be one of my top campaign advisors if I were campaigning for anything. If this thing gets bad, I think Clinton might actually withdraw or at least agree to lose on a second ballot. There are enough non-insane Democrats in high places to push for it successfully to avoid a convention debacle. Then there's a comment here about Randy that I better just leave off. All right. Back to your phone calls on this particular issue. Doug is calling from Orlando, listening on Sirius. Hey, Doug. Yo, Doug.
Hey, yeah. I'm down here in Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I was very upset with the DNC for the stunt they pulled and canceling our, negating our delegates. And the fact is that what they're really doing is punish. What they really did is punish 4.3 million registered Democratic voters in Florida for something that a bunch of Republican legislators in Tallahassee did.
Uh-huh.
Even if every Democrat in the state legislature opposed the moving up of the delegates, they could not have stopped it because the Republicans control the Florida state legislature,
right,
by 78-42 votes.
Right.
In the House and 26-14 in the Senate, and there's just no, and the governor, of course, is a Republican as well. And there's nothing that we could have done. Yet the legislature insists, or rather the DNC insisted on punishing us anyways. And it's, to me, it's this classic thing where we go out and we snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Well, no, wait, are you saying that because one, all right, if they can't hold a primary, they can still hold caucuses. The Florida legislature can't do a damn thing about caucuses.
No, but that would cost $9 million, which the Florida Democratic Party just didn't have.
Well, the DNC, but the DNC has it.
They don't fund it. The Florida Democratic Party would have to fund it.
I think in this case, the DNC would make damn sure that the Florida Democratic Party has it. If the Republican-controlled legislature in Florida will not, and there's no reason for them to declare another primary day and provide all the necessary ballots and poll watches, so on and so forth, then there's no choice for the Democrats but to hold caucuses. And they will do it. Either they will do it or they will back down completely and say, "Oh, we were just kidding."
Well, even if you're correct, and suppose we did hold a caucus procedure here, that's still not a very democratic procedure. That limits it to people like myself who are active party members and who have an in the party, as opposed to somebody who goes out and votes. It still disenfranchises the voters. I don't agree that caucuses are proper either, in that they disenfranchise regular voters. And I think the thing that I would argue that the delegates from Michigan and Florida should do, if they're not seated, is they should show up to Denver with one of the old United States flags from before 1960 that has 48 states on it,
yeah,
48 stars on it, and walk around outside the convention hall waving those 48-star flags, because Howard Dean promised us 50 states in 2008, and we're only getting 48 states.
Right. It gets crazier and crazier. But you notice which political party is all of a sudden got its vulnerable parts caught in a ringer. It ain't the Republicans, is it?
No, and the thing is, too, I'm going to tell you something. If someone is actively involved in Florida politics, what this does, or what this has done, it gave the major candidates no upside to coming and campaigning in Florida by saying you don't get any delegates by coming down here.
Right.
So they were all too agreeable to sign this four-state pledge, which the original four states put out there.
Right.
And so, therefore, after, you know, maybe the middle of last year, there was no more campaigning going on here in Florida by major Democratic candidates. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Republicans have not had that problem. Rudy Giuliani and Huckabee and McCain have all been down here continuously off
right.
and on campaigning.
Yeah,
Doug,
wait. I got to put you on hold because we are flat out of time. I get your point, though, and you make some good points. It is just a classic case, once again, of the Democratic Party's circular firing squad. Ready, aim, shoot. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. For people who are listening to this program tonight, at least part of it anyway, on the internet who live in L.A., remember, KTLK also covers the L.A. Kings hockey team games, and I believe there's one. This should be ending pretty quick here, but we have to kind of work around the hockey games. All right, we want to share with you now some of the more insane moments of Mitt Romney's bailout speech today. Actually, the whole thing was just incredibly mad. I mean, even watching some of the replay, we heard it on CNN on the radio on Sirius in the car today, but watching some of this on the videos this evening, this guy is really out of control. I don't know what happens to people, some people, when they decide to run for president. They really start to believe their own hype. I don't know. I think this guy thinks he's channeling Ronald Reagan or Alexander the Great or somebody. Oh, and by the way, I got an email from somebody who pointed out that John McCain was not born in the United States. Are you all aware of that? Isn't there something in the Constitution that says you have to be a native-born American in order to run for the presidency? He was born in the Panama, the country of Panama. Now, there will be some hair splitting here because he was born in the Panama Canal Zone, which was under control of the United States at the time. Oh, hell, there was a time when the Philippines were under control of the United States. So, I you know, maybe that's somebody send an email to Rush and the pig man and point that out. That'll give Rush something to chew on for the next few months. Give him a new chew toy. But John McCain was not born in the continental United States. So, for whatever that's worth. Willard really sent the right-wing spin machine into hyperdrive at the Conservative Political Action Committee Mutual Masturbatory Society meeting today when he announced his decision to prematurely, no, I'm not going to say it, withdraw from the presidential race, because if he doesn't, wait for it, then the terrorists win! Oh, God! I mean, get this guy. He really does think that the terrorists, those shadowy Arab-speaking beasts lurking in caves and mountains over there somewhere, they are sitting around deep in their caves plotting their strategies based on the actions of Mitt Romney's campaign. Holy Christ, talk about delusional. I wonder if he thinks his brainwaves control the weather. Or if he puts on a certain sport coat in the morning, then the stock market will rise. Are all Republicans clinically insane? Gail Collins today in the New York Times suggested that. And of course, I, you know my position. But we want you to listen to him here in this first soundbite. He gets all poetic about pornography, government welfare, promiscuity, as he describes his former campaign platform. Tell me, truth seeker, is this guy even a tiny bit earthbound?
The attack on faith and religion is no less relentless.
By
and
who?
Tolerance for pornography, even celebration of it, and sexual promiscuity, combined with the twisted incentives of government welfare, have led to today's grim realities.
Oh, please.
68% of African-American kids born out of wedlock, 45% of Hispanic kids, 25% of white kids. How much harder it is for these kids to succeed in school and in life. A nation built on the principles of the founding fathers cannot long stand when its children are raised without fathers in the home.
Yes! Yes, fathers in the home! So, porn and promiscuity... linked to welfare. Now, let me see here. I'm a little confused, Mittens, but were you going to pass a law banning divorce if the couple had kids, or outlaw maybe Playboy magazine? Well, at least for blacks and Latinos and, you know, that precious 25% of white kids, right? Make teen sex illegal? What are you talking about? This is the candidate that right-wing talk radio supported. Keep that in mind. Now, nothing pisses me off. Well, yes, I'll take it back. Few things piss me off more than when a white man stands up, a rich white man stands up and tosses off statistics about how many African-American kids are born out of wedlock, how many Latino kids are born out of wedlock. And then, of course, they always throw in the little stat about white kids born out of wedlock, but those are all toothless people who eat dirt and live in Kentucky someplace, so they don't count. If you take a look at the policies of the Bush crime family, it almost and the Clinton organization and Herbert Bush and Reagan, how far back you want to go, it almost guarantees black families being decimated. Now, I grew up, for the most part, in the 50s, 40s and 50s up north. And I lived in an integrated neighborhood, went to an integrated school, yada, 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 yada. Did we fight? Yeah, the Catholics fought the Jews, and the Jews fought the Protestants, and the whites fought the blacks. And every once in a while, we would meet a Muslim, and we were just like, oh, God, where's your camel? Yeah, you know, so I grew up in that kind of slop. But I'm here to tell you that I grew up in a working-class neighborhood. Everybody in that group I just mentioned, Jew, Gentile, black, white, whatever. We were all our dads were factory workers. Most of our mothers stayed home, although a few, like mine, worked as a waitress. And there was no such thing as divorce, generally speaking, not in my working class neighborhood, and certainly not among black families. Every once in a while, some kid would come to our school, and we had we didn't have middle school. We had first through the eighth grade. And it usually be an immigrant from some other part of the country, mostly from the South, because there was a lot of white people migrating from the South to the North for work back then. And this little kid would come to school, and he wouldn't have a father. And we couldn't figure that out. And he was white, and we couldn't figure that out. Because divorce was just not something that was as prevalent back then. At least, you know, in my neighborhood, in my city, when I grew up. That's what I'm talking about. But the point I'm trying to make, black families were intact, as intact, if not more so than white families. So what happened? Well, I'll leave the exploration of that cultural phenomenon up to you and your ability to take a look and research. But I'm still trying to figure out what welfare has to do with porn. You have to be rich to enjoy really good porn, don't you? You know, live actors and stuff. Remember, Bush promised a compassionate American for every single citizen. Remember that malaprop of his? Admittance here wants to guarantee a father in every home, possibly several mothers, too. You know, I mean, he is Mormon. But certainly at least one father. As this bizarre exit speech continued, for some inexplicable reason, Mittens started talking about what's wrong with Europe. Now, he talks about Europe is a demographic disaster. That's because men and women there are deciding to have fewer and fewer children because they're terrified of policies forced on the rest of the world by people like, oh, well, Mitt Romney, right? Anyway, he starts talking about what's wrong with European culture, and then he links it to the economy and immorality and China. I guess he forgot which nation he was trying to get elected in. Man, I'm sorry he's decided to pull out. He would have been so much fun to play with.
Europe is facing a demographic disaster. That's the inevitable product of weakened faith in the Creator, failed families, disrespect for the sanctity of human life,
and
eroded morality.
Yes.
Some reason that culture is merely an accessory to America's vitality. We know that it's the source of our strength. And we will not be dissuaded by the snickers and knowing glances when we stand up for family values and morality and culture. China and Asia are emerging from centuries of poverty. Their people are plentiful, innovative, and ambitious. If we don't change course, Asia or China will pass us by as the economic superpower, just as we passed England and France during the last century.
Willard, newsflash for you, pal. China is going to pass everybody, and there's nothing you can do about it. And there's a reason. I want you to remember this number, 2.1 billion. Okay, just remember that number, okay? And there'll be a quiz on this later. Now, let me get this straight. Mittens the Mormon thinks that the reason the USA passed Europe economically is because the Europeans didn't have strong beliefs in God or the flaming angel Moroni or something, but that Asia is a threat because, what, that they're such good Christians and they don't believe in abortions? Does he know anything about China? Somebody ought to get him those little carry-out packets of Thorazine so he can just pop one every time he starts to make a speech like this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
hungered the moment I knelt down to pray.
When you turn your heart and your life over to Christ, when you accept Christ as a Savior, it changes your heart and changes your life.
Makes it easier to invade places and kill people. And all right, let's get serious here about the real platform. It's not about God and dads in Europe and porn and welfare. It's a fight against Islam. And we need more military might to fight China or something like that. The irony in his statement here about democracy is as confusing as his mixed metaphors.
As you know, in one wing of the world of Islam, there's a conviction that all governments should be destroyed and replaced by a religious caliphate. These jihadists will battle any form of democracy because to them, democracy is blasphemous because it says that citizens, not God, shape the law. They find the idea of human equality to be equally offensive. They hate everything we believe about freedom, just as we hate everything they believe about radical jihad. In the face of evil and radical jihad, and given the inevitable military ambitions of China, we must act to rebuild our military might.
Oh, God. Oh. Now, what does he say? In one wing of the world of Islam, there's a conviction that all governments should be destroyed and replaced by a religious caliphate. These jihadists will battle any form of democracy because to them democracy is blasphemous, because it says that citizens, not God, shape the law. Son of a bitch, doesn't that sound exactly like what Huckabee said the other day? Well, gosh darn it, it is. It is exactly what Huckabee, remember what Huckabee said? That we need to get rid of that constitution. We need to get closer to God's law. Holy Toledo. I didn't know Huckabee was an Islamic fundamentalist. I had no idea. These jihadists will battle any form of democracy because to them democracy is blasphemous. Willard, you're talking about Mike Huckabee? Do we still have that anywhere in the file? Kathy?
I supported the president when he led us into this, as did the Democrats. And I think we owe him not a lot of scorn. We owe him our thanks that he had the courage to recognize there was a potential of weapons of mass destruction.
Mike, if you're going to come on our program and say something, you got to say what we're talking about. We are talking about your comments that Mitt Romney now ascribes to Islamic jihadists and how they want to destroy democracy and government of, by, and for the people and make it government of, by, and for the angels or God or something, I think. Did you find it?
I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution.
Uh-oh.
But I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the Word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, is to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view of how we treat each other and how we treat the family.
Woo! Well, that's pretty clear cut, isn't it? Man. And some of you people still wonder why I have taken the path of utter, absolute, total, complete non-theism. Oh, well. We have two more here for you from Willard, getting out of the race to become the next president of the United States. But we're going to take a break here, and we will come back and share these two with you. And then we're going to move on. We have other things to cover tonight. So stick around. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
25 before the hour. You know, they talk about, I've talked about Hillary Clinton having sat on the board of directors at Walmart. Mitt Romney sat on the board of directors of the Marriott Corporation for 10 years. And regarding Mitt Romney's just terribly off-putting attitude about pornography, or he's off-put by it, the Marriott hotel chain has made millions of dollars in in-room porn. And the Marriott has contributed heavily to Romney's campaign, tens of thousands of dollars, a portion of which comes from in-room porn features. At the Huffington Post the other day, Chris Kelly was writing about this, and he writes, "Personally, I don't care what hotels do. I just wish they'd make the little shampoo bottle with the top I could open when I'm in the shower and my hands are wet. How hard is that?" But, again, according to right-wing anti-porn wackos, so sue them, and not me. Marriott has provided its guests with entertainment, including the following. Now, this is where Romney gets some of his money. Bad Wives 2, Bye, that's B-I, Bye-Bye American Pie. I can't say that one. Hustler's All-Girl Slumber Party. Kinky Couple Sex Games. Oh, can't say that one. Nasty Office Nymphs, Naughty Neighbors, Naughty Collegiate Schoolgirls, Newlywed Infidelities. Can't say that one. Risque Biz and Bad Habits, Spring Break Pantyhose. Can't say that one. Three Women and a Resort, Women in Uniform Special, and Young as They Come. Okay, now. Mitt Romney, with all of his talk about porn, and doesn't the man talk a lot about porn? Huh? Doesn't he talk a lot about porn? What does that usually tell you? Huh? When somebody rails against the homosexual lifestyle while they're out there doing each other, oh, it's terrible, huh? It's against God's law, huh? What do you usually find out about those people? That's right. They're having sex with gay male hookers. So somebody who rails on and on and on about porn and accepts thousands of dollars from the Marriott Corporation that makes millions of dollars off of in-room porn, what? Is and sat on the board of directors of Marriott. If he's on the board of directors of the Marriott for 10 years, and somebody comes in and says, "All right, the meeting will now come to order. On the agenda today, we have open for discussion now. We've got a chance here to load up our in-room televiewing with all sorts of porn. And I'm not talking about the softcore stuff, boys. I'm talking about the real get down and dirty. So let's take a vote. Mr. Jones, I'm for it. Mr. Smith, I'm for it. Mr. Williams, I'm for it. Mr. Romney, hell yeah! Is there such a thing as a non-hypocritical, lying, filthy, mind-boggling, jerkwad Republican? No, there isn't. But I digress. Finally, Willard gets to the heart of the matter today, explaining his real reason for pulling out of the race. No, it's not because he has absolutely zero chance of winning. But because if he doesn't quit, the terrorists will win. We'll be fighting Al-Qaeda in the streets of St. Louis if he stays in the race. No, I'm not kidding. Too bad he didn't run for president back in 2000. The 9/11 attacks could have been prevented entirely. Anyway, here he is. Here's the real reason Mitt Romney bows out of the race.
Soon the face of liberalism in America
will
have a new name. Whether it's Barack or Hillary, the result would be the same if they were to be able to win the presidency. Today, we are a nation at war. And Barack and Hillary have made their intentions clear regarding Iraq and the war on terror. They would retreat, declare defeat, And the consequence of that would be devastating.
Oh.
It would mean attacks on America, launched from safe havens that would make Afghanistan under the Taliban look like child's play. About this, I have no doubt.
Do you also believe in talking angels that speak to Native Americans and things like that? Terror, terror everywhere, and abortions and porn and welfare and a failed Europe. And damn it, only one wife per husband. Ah, oh, wasn't that way about four generations back in your family, though, was it, Mitt? Oh, well. Barack and Hillary have made their intentions clear regarding Iraq and the war on terror. They would retreat, declare defeat. Hey, dumbass. Hey, Mr. Governor. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have both said just the opposite, you lying son of a bitch. Isn't there something in the Mormon faith about lying, even when you're standing in front of a group of mouth-breathing head-nodders like you were standing in front of today? Isn't there something in your strange and wonderful religion that professes that lying is not exactly what Jesus and Moroni and God and whoever else would find favor with? Isn't there anything, Mitt? No. Of course not. In so many of these religions, when you are trying to defeat the pagan, you are allowed to say anything, I guess. All right. Last one. Not crazy enough for you so far? Okay, here's his parting gasp. In order to save the nation, check that. In order to save the entire world, our hero, Captain Superhair, will gather up his cape and leave us now and return to his home planet in order to save us from evil Muslims. And, as an afterthought, those arch-villains, Hillary and Brock.
Now, if I fight on my campaign all the way to the convention, I want you to know, I'm giving this a lot of thought, I'd forestall the launch of a national campaign.
Oh, yeah?
And frankly, I'd be making it easier for Senator Clinton or Obama to win.
No! No!
Frankly, in this time of war, I simply cannot let my campaign be a part of aiding a surrender to terror.
Surrender to terror! Oh! Oh!
I entered this race.
Why?
I entered this race.
Why?
Because I love America.
Oh!
And because I love America, in this time of war, I feel I have to now stand aside for our party and for our country.
No!
I will continue to stand for conservative principles.
No porn!
I'll fight alongside you for all the things we believe in.
No porn!
And one of the things we believe in is that we cannot allow the next president of the United States to retreat in the face of evil extremism.
Yes! Yes! Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. We cannot vote for Huckabee! The face of evil extremism. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I mean those Muslims, those Mohammedans. What's this? I want you to know I'd forestall the launch of a national campaign if he didn't bow out. How exactly would that happen? Isn't John McCain involved in a national campaign? Look, jerk boy, everyone with the grasp of second grade math, excuse me, with second grade arithmetic, knows you couldn't get enough delegates to win if you won every single delegate still up for grabs. So sit your ass down and shut up! How much magical power do you think you have, Superhair? Listen, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this? Get the missus, hop on over to the nearest Marriott, put a do not disturb sign on the outside of the door, order up some really potent bottled water, and you and the old lady just kick back and get on that magic fingers bed, you know, that one that goes brrr, brrr, and flip on one of those titles that Marriott provides to its guests. Young as They Come sounds like a pretty good one. What do you think, Mitt? Man. He's really taken with himself, isn't he, huh? He's really a hero in his own mind. He's just, he's going to prevent, he's not going to prevent the launching of a national campaign. He's not going to stay in the race so that the terrorists will come roiling over out of the caves and mountains screaming, Mitt Romney's still in the campaign, kill, kill, Mitt Romney's still in the campaign, kill, kill, Mitt Romney's still in the campaign, kill, kill. No. He's going to prevent all that. He's going to keep them out of the streets of St. Louis by getting out of the race and maybe heading to the nearest Marriott. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Deep down in my soul, words that I'm hearing are starting to get old. Feels like I'm starting all over again. The last few years were just pretend. And I said goodbye to you. Goodbye to everything that I knew. You were the one I loved. The one thing that I tried to hold.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to everybody who wrote in and very patiently explained to me that John McCain is a U.S. citizen because, well, his parents were, and his dad was in the military, and he was born in a military zone. Actually, I kind of knew that, but I was just kind of... Never mind. Senator Arlen Specter is really upset about some spy tapes. Joanne sent this in. I'm sitting here. This is today. I'm sitting here while my husband is watching some crazy sports show called Mike and the Mad Dog. And all of a sudden I hear them talking to Arlen Specter on the phone, Senator. Specter is saying he wants to have the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on whether the New England Patriots taped the signals of opposing teams and subsequently destroyed the tapes. When either Mike or the Mad Dog, I don't know which is which, asked Senator Specter if he really thought the Senate had enough free time to investigate football, he assured them that the Senate was taking care of business and had enough time to look into this matter. Well, Patrick Leahy has the gavel now, not Specter. Will he, Leahy, allow him to hold such hearings? Remember when the Republicans chaired the committees and John Conyers was forced to hold forums, he couldn't call them hearings, on the Downing Street memos in a broom closet? I can't take it, Joanne writes. My head is on fire. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's important stuff to know. And whether or not these sports greats really have been injecting themselves with steroids and human growth stuff. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, a couple of emails. When we come back, we're going to take a bunch of phone calls. This is addressed to from Eric to Senator Clinton, and he sent me a copy. Dear Senator Clinton, a wise and germane quote which I address to you. Quote, You're so condescending. Your gall is never ending. We don't want nothing, not a thing from you. Your life is trite and jaded, boring and confiscated. If that's your best won't do. We'll fight the powers that be. Just don't pick our destiny, because you don't know us. You don't belong. And that, of course, is from Kathy's favorite group, Twisted Sister, written by Dee Snider, from We're Not Going to Take It. And Eric adds as a postscript to Senator Clinton, get the heck out of the race, you me first, win at all costs, status quo loving, cowardly corporate lackey. Dee Snider, huh? This is from Gary. Mike, why do you let these freepers call in and say they know what Hillary will do? Are they clairvoyant? If so, can they give me some good lottery numbers? Googling Obama and CIA gets me over 3 million hits. May I read a few hundred thousand of them on your show? In the San Francisco Bay Area, we had a newsman named Scoop Nisker. His motto was, if you don't like the news, go make some of your own. That meant to go do something newsworthy, not to make up the news on a call to Mike Malloy. Signed, Gary. A pissed off KKGN listener, former Edwards supporter, now Hillary supporter. And this one is from Nancy in Ferndale, Washington. The Democratic Congress is terrible and spineless. They can't even enforce subpoenas against the Bush crime family. Bill Clinton did not pursue or prosecute any of the Bush Iran-Contra crime family because he just wanted to get along. And they had dirt on him from the beginning as ammo. Remember Jennifer? I bet my last few dying screams of frustration that if elected, Obama will not pursue the crimes of the Bush 2 administration. Too much work to do to repair the damage of the last 8 years. What happens then? Not only do the criminals go free, but they come back to haunt us. Elliot Abrams, Negroponte, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz. That's one thing that worries me about Obama. But of course, if Hillary gets elected and wanted to be hard-nosed about these crimes, she'd be accused of seeking revenge. We're screwed as usual, Nancy writes. It's also totally rigged, isn't it? Oh, you people are just depressing the hell out of me. Mike, I love listening to your show on AM 1240 in Sacramento. I've heard you talk on many occasions how there's no difference between Republicans and the Democrats. Mike, with all due respect, there's a ton of difference. People in 2000 thought the exact same thing you're thinking when they moronically voted for that self-loving slime Nader. But for Nader, Gore would have won Florida, although he won anyway, but the Supreme Court took it away. If Gore was president, I'm not sure we would have had 9/11, and in any case, we surely wouldn't have gone to Iraq. We would have appointed two liberal Supreme Court justices, and the makeup of the court would have been liberal for some time, not to mention the hundreds of liberal federal court judges and appellate court judges. We would be passing and getting signed bills like S-CHIP and so forth. For liberals to stay home because our nominee isn't liberal enough and doesn't agree with us 100% would be the fascist nightmare. You say there's no difference, but there's a ton of difference. And you act like it's easy to get a veto-proof Senate. That is impossible this election cycle. In fact, looking at it objectively, excuse me, we should be thrilled just to get five extra Senate seats, which would give us just 55, since Lieberman isn't really a Democrat. You know, there are always a handful of Democrats that side with the Republicans on many issues. To act as if it doesn't matter whether it's a Democratic president or not, quite honestly, is ludicrous, especially if the nominee is Obama. Thanks, David. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. If you've been tuned in to most of the program tonight, you know what we've been talking about. There's a couple other items I wanted to drop into the upcoming discussion here between us, among us. The you know how the Bush crime family has just been furiously propagandizing the Iranian nuclear energy program. Right? Yeah, of course. We're right on the verge of dropping big bombs on Iran. Did I say Iraq? I meant Iran. I guess I said Iranian. But did you also know, and I know some of you did, that our energy department is subsidizing two Russian nuclear institutes that are building important parts of the reactor in Iran that the U.S. has spent years trying to stop? These two Russian institutes gave American officials copies of sales presentations that listed the Bushehr reactor, which Russia has agreed to fuel as one of their projects. So the Bush crime family knows and has known. You know, this started back in the 90s, and the Bush crime family knows that U.S. Taxpayers through the Energy Department is subsidizing the building of these nuclear facilities in Iran, that the Bush crime family then can turn around and say, look, they've got nuclear, you know. One institute in Russia is providing control systems, including control room equipment. The other one is providing hundreds of pumps and ventilation fans. Our Energy Department is subsidizing these institutes under what was and is called the Initiatives for Proliferation Prevention. It was a program that was set up in the mid-90s after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the theory being that all of a sudden there were going to be an awful lot of impoverished scientists and nuclear technologists who would be willing to sell their expertise on the open market to other states, or maybe even groups that we didn't agree with that want nuclear weapons. So the U.S. decided to supplement the salaries of scientists and pay overhead at those institutions. And the Bushehr nuclear power reactor in Iran is one of the projects. And I like what the Times says. It was not immediately clear whether the Energy Department was contributing to the salaries of the very scientists involved in the Bushehr report reactor project. Two Michigan Democrats, John Dingell and Bart Stupak, asked that question in a letter sent on Wednesday to Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman. The two Democrats asked in their letter, what policy logic justifies Department of Energy funding Russian institutes which are providing nuclear technology to Iran? How does this advance our non-proliferation goals? Well, obviously it doesn't, I guess. Mr. Dingell said the committee would also pursue whether the Energy Department was subsidizing any institutes that worked with, North Korea, Syria, or other countries that are frantically trying to develop nuclear weapons, or maybe seeking to do so because Bush has scared the dinner out of them. However, the Energy Department said in a statement yesterday evening, quote, we are confident that none of the projects cited by the House committee or any of the department scientists' engagement projects with Russia support nuclear work in Iran, end quote. Yeah, but Mr. Bodman, the committee members have receipts. they have the forms, the documents filled. Mr. Dingell said only this administration, the Bush administration, would complain about proliferation in Iran as part of President Bush's axis of evil, and then finance it with American taxpayer dollars. And Mr. Stupak, the other Democrat, called the whole thing schizophrenic foreign policy. Well, boys, take a deep breath, really. Is there a chance that the Bush crime family knows that the Iranians have no nuclear weapons program and really is not going to start dropping bombs on Iran, but is hyping it this way for the obvious political reasons? This is not different from what we did in Iraq. Of course, we went ahead and pulled the trigger on Iraq. I don't know. You just never know with the Bush crime family, crazy people, do you? Now, as far as the U.S. Department of Energy, that means U.S. taxpayers subsidizing, paying for the development of nuclear technologies that go to Iran. Don't forget, that's nothing new. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld sat on the board of a company in the year 2000. Well, he was there for about 10 years, from 1990 through 2000, a company that sold two light water nuclear reactors to North Korea. Rumsfeld sat on the board of the company that sold that. Another one of the axes of evil countries. Rumsfeld was a director of ABB, a European engineering giant based in Zurich, and that company got a $200 million contract to provide the design and key components for these reactors to go to North Korea. Rumsfeld at the time was earning $190,000 a year, which back in the 90s, that was real money. And he only left because the Bush crime family wanted to put him to work as Secretary of Defense. The sale of the nuclear technology was high profile. I mean, everybody in that industry knew about it. ABB's then chief executive visited North Korea in November 1999 to announce the company's, quote, wide-ranging long-term cooperation agreement, end quote, with the North Korean government, you know, the one run by Kim Il-crazy. The company also opened an office in the country's capital, Pyongyang, and the deal was signed in 2000. Now, don't forget, Rummy worked there until 2001. Despite this, Rumsfeld said that he has no recollection of it ever being brought before the board at any time. A spokesman for ABB told the Guardian of the UK that, quote, board members were informed about the project, which would deliver systems and equipment for light water reactors, end quote. So, the idea that, and that's not new stuff. That's we talked about that 3 years ago, Kathy. Just kind of a reminder that for the Republicans, it doesn't matter. It was the Clinton administration. It was during the Clinton administration that the project with North Korea was set up. But I don't think anybody in the Clinton administration immediately started making money on reactors in North Korea. It was during the Clinton administration that the nonproliferation agreement to kind of subsidize former Soviet scientists who worked in the nuclear industry, that was designed to keep them from going to work for terrorist groups. But I don't remember anybody in the Clinton administration actively said, well, oh, never mind. Oh, and don't forget, it was only a couple of years ago that Kellogg, Brown, and Root, Dick Cheney's old Halliburton subsidiary company, finally finished their business in Iran during a time when Iran was labeled, of course, part of the Axis of Evil. But you all know all this, don't you? I hate cowardice. I hate lies. And I hate hypocrisy. And I cannot think of a single Republican who identifies himself or herself, either self-identified or identified by media or the lemmings. I can't think of a single conservative or Republican or right-wing leader, whether it's in radio or government, who is not at once a coward, a liar, and a hypocrite. Can anybody, please, just for the sake of my own sanity, can you send me the name of a prominent Republican currently operating in the fertile, paranoid political field of U.S. politics in any manner who is not a liar, a coward, and a hypocrite? Just one. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. We'll be right back.
your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
21 past the hour. Six people shot dead at a city council meeting tonight in Kirkwood, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. Two police officers, three people attending the meeting, and the shooter were all killed. And, of course, the National Rifle Association wants guns to be carried into any kind of a meeting, anywhere at any time. What was the... wasn't there a mass killing out in L.A. today, too? Five people killed there? God. Last thing here, Mike Huckabee is, he's a psychopath, but he has fashioned a new campaign identity after his victories in five Southern primaries on Tuesday. He now calls himself the candidate of the South. Yeah, the candidate of the South. He says that. He says that. And Ed Rollins of Ronald Reagan fame, who is Huckabee's chief strategist, now says, from our perspective, we can make our argument that we really are the conservative candidate because all these dumb crackers down here voted for us and we won in five states. So anyway, he's the newly self-designated candidate of the South. And I don't know if Mitt Romney's getting out is going to affect him, but he's now decided that the next big target is the March 4th Texas Republican primary with its deeply conservative voters and its 140 delegates. He told reporters other day, Texas is going to be a big, big state for us. We'll spend a lot of time there. I think it's a natural place for us to do well. You know, I've already run Arkansas, obviously. I've won Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and West Virginia, and I came damn close in Missouri. But you know what? We're looking. I am the candidate of the South. That's what I am. And I am God's chosen candidate of the South to boot. How about that? I'm going to tell you something, boys. Y'all vote for me in that March 4th primary, or you know all these tornadoes and things that were ripping across the states that didn't vote for me? Huh? Well, all right, Tennessee did, and so did Alabama, but listen up. He calls himself the Republican of the South? Oh, my God. You ought to see the crowds here in Georgia just absolutely drool over this wasted DNA. He went out to one of these big mega churches the Sunday before Super Tuesday, and of course it was non-political. He was just a sinner like everyone else, he said, and he stood up there in the pulpit and he gave the sermon. And my favorite part, as it always is in those kinds of events, is when, you know, you got 6,000 or 7,000 people in this case just raising their hands up to the ceiling, and I don't know what the hell they're expecting to happen. The rafters come down or something, but they're open, they're waving their hands and moaning and looking like they're all involved in some kind of supernatural sex. And at that particular moment, whether it's with 6,000 people in attendance or 60 in one of these little old wood and log churches up in North Georgia mountains, but at that particular moment, I just wish Huckabee would reach over there behind the podium and come out with that old burlap bag full of snakes. I just wish he would. There is nothing like it. I'm telling you, if you've never been to a snake handling, you have not experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in its purest form. I'm telling you. Now, the only thing that's better than going to a snake handling is when they also have a great big old jug of lye sitting back there over by the organ, if they have an organ. Most of these little places don't. But after they reach into that bag and come up with the serpents, and ooh, let me tell you something, that is really fun to watch. Them old snakes just wriggling and squirming, and them old boys up there in the bib overhauls just talking in tongues and jumping around, hopping on one foot, hopping on the other. Those coral snakes and rattlesnakes just, you know, just kind of looking around and squeezing around and deciding who they're going to bite. And if nobody gets bit, praise the Lord, and the serpents go back in the bag, that's not proof enough. Then they go for that jug of lye. Ow! They bring out that jug of lye. And the deacons get up there, and once again, they start to rattling off in tongues and passing that jug around. And man, I'll tell you, you come out of there with your faith restored. Even a nasty ass old atheist like me, boy, I'll tell you, I go in there and watch him handle those snakes, and I feel something. I feel the Spirit move me. I feel the Spirit move me. I swear, I feel the Spirit move me. And if it ain't a spirit, it's a big ass snake. One of the other two, as they say up there in the North Georgia Mountains. It's one of the other two. Whatever. All right, enough of this nonsense. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Hallelujah.
Reverend Huckabee, take up that bag of snakes. Put your hand in there, huh? Because the Lord said,
Jesus spoke to the Republican and he saved us from Al Gore. An evil lace and trickles down and shipping jobs offshore. He wishes all them unemployed would stop trying to tax his wealth. Your brother's keeper just don't apply because it's everybody for himself. Democrats shall burn. No butterflies, no hanging chads can save them in the...
Just look on any dollar bill. It says in God we trust, so we ask his help in everything we do. Now we got freedom of religion. I reckon that means that we must tolerate...
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Rick is calling from Iowa, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I was doing a whole lot better until you did that Romney bit.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. I have become almost immune to the inane ravings of these blathering tush bags that have become the face of the Republican Party. But what still twists my gut is listening to the audience, these mindless meat puppets wallowing in some kind of orgasmic joy in their own ignorance and stupidity and hatred.
It's awful. It's just awful. I can't understand why people jump to their feet and scream and applaud when somebody says the kind of gibberish that Romney says, or Bush, for that matter, or any of these right wingers.
It has to be stupidity. It can't even be ignorance. It has to be just stupidity. That's all I can think of. But that's not really what I called about.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to say that just this is for the people in your audience who have called in, or maybe are just thinking, if my candidate doesn't win, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, or I'm not going to vote for Obama.
Uh-huh.
You people, please, if you have any love left in your heart, if you have any passion left in your heart, if you care about your future, if you care about your children's future, do this. Spend one entire day listening to right-wing talk radio and keep this thought in your head that if you do not vote, you are just giving away your vote to that philosophy. And if you can do that and still tell yourself that you're not going to vote, you might as well just pick up a rifle and start marching the Jews into the oven, because that's how far you have come.
Yeah, that is the truth. That it's I hear what you say. I cannot listen for longer than about 5 minutes anymore to this right-wing gibberish. Kathy will do it sometimes. She'll listen to Neil Bortz here in Atlanta, or Limbaugh. And once in a while Hannity, because he's on here too. But I can't do it.
Well, that's the cure for apathy right there. That's the best one I can think of. Just take some Maalox. You're going to need probably a jug.
Well, you're right. I mean, it does. So when I listen for 5 minutes to this stuff, it immediately makes me realize that I cannot hold out for a pure Democrat. If I do, I'm part of the problem and not the solution, which is very frustrating to me, because I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of it, you know, going all the way back to Reagan's re-election in 84. When you look at the Democrats that were put forward, even going back all those years ago, 24 years ago, and what we've had to choose from up to this point, none of them have been Democrats. They have been Republican light. I'm so sick of choosing Republican right, but Republican light. But I guess it is coming down to that, isn't it? Like I said earlier tonight, we got some choices here. Either don't vote, or vote for a Democrat, no matter how much you disagree with his or her position, or just take to the streets and declare yourself ready to fight for the revolution. In which case, you'd probably be dead in about 40 seconds. But
You'd be waterboarded and then put away for life.
yeah, that's true. Well,
I'm going to take my Maalox and head on down the road.
All right. Well, listen, thanks, Rick. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right, you take care. Oh, man. There is still hope, brother. Isn't that what we were talking about last night? It is. There is still hope, brother. So, you know, as you listen to this nonsensical radio program of mine, don't give up the hope because why? Don't give up the hope because where there's hope, there's life. There you go. Where there's hope, there's life. With no hope, there's no life. And in addition to what Rick said about listening to right-wing talk radio for 5 minutes or 1 day, if you also want to be scared into voting Democrat, no matter who the Democrat is, I don't care if it's Republican light, just go to one of those snake handling church services. That'll strain you out real quick. Who we got? Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, as far as choice is concerned, well, I wanted to address two things. One has to be the choice. You know, there is another choice that we could look at third parties very seriously, mm-hmm. as far as an option. Because everybody who keeps sitting around here throwing their hands up and talking about, well, there's not another choice. Well, you know what? Third parties were responsible for ending slavery, for getting women's rights to vote, for Social Security. The civil rights movement was a movement into itself that was co-opted into the Democratic Party. They were not always Democratic values. So there is another choice that people want to really seriously start looking at this kind of an issue instead of this apathy of just voting for the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. And as for that emailer that talked about Ralph Nader, listen, I am so sick and tired of listening to that kind of garbage. I happen to be one of those people who voted for Ralph Nader in 2000, and I will not apologize for my vote because there was definitely a clear difference between the platform that he was putting up and what he was running on against Al Gore.
Right.
Democrats, you know what, and they spread this lie around as to cover their own cowardness of their failures of not doing anything. Why don't Democrats ever go after the fact that 8 million Democrats voted for George Bush in 2000, or the fact that Al Gore carried neither his home state or Arkansas, or the fact that the Democrats, that the blacks that were disenfranchised off the rolls in Florida, and that they were stopped at the roadblock, and nobody defended their right to vote, or the fact that Bush got more votes in some counties for him than there were registered voters. Yet you never hear them talk about that. They co-opt this lie, and it's been co-opted against the Democratic Party with the DLC and the DNC and their constituents to sit there and cover up for their failures. And you know, and unfortunately, I'm sorry, but some progressives have joined into that lie, i.e. Randy Rhodes has been one of them. And I am sick and tired of hearing it. I am not going to apologize to anyone for my vote for that. I have the right to vote for whoever I want to. Democrats are not just owed my vote automatically. You have to show that there is some kind of a difference. And if you don't show that, why is it that this arrogance that I owe you my vote?
Yeah, that's true.
I just, you know, I'm sick and tired of hearing that. And, you know, instead of people just throwing up their hands and saying that we don't have any other choice, I would seriously suggest that people seriously start looking at third-party choices. Cynthia McKinney is a very good choice. for president. She stands for a lot of the things. She will stand up there. She fought for 9/11 truth. She has fought against the Pentagon for the military budget. She is the only one who has introduced full articles of impeachment against Bushko. She has fought for a lot of progressive legislation. So instead of just voting for Hillary or Barack, who are terrible choices, you know, that is a viable alternative. So, you know, people stop whining about the two, that about Democrats are so much better, because they're not. The Democrats of today are no different from the Republicans. They feed out of the same corporate trough. They get the same money. They sit there. They give away our civil liberties. I mean, there's no difference. They could have stopped the Iran war, the Iraq war. They could have stopped the Bush cuts and tax cuts in 2001. They could have stopped the Patriot Act. They were in control of the Senate. They did none of those things. So I would like to know, what is the difference today?
How about Michael Bloomberg?
You mean as the independent for the...
Yeah, he ran as the Republican to get elected mayor of New York, but he's been a lifelong Democrat. What about Bloomberg? You know, he's still, I understand, he's still teasing with the idea. There's a guy who could finance his own campaign.
Yeah, well, he could definitely afford to do that. Now, I personally, as far as civil liberties and stuff, I would not want to do that. But Democrats also need to look at the fact that ones that are not the right-wing fringe of the Republican Party are sick and tired of the Republicans hijacking their party. You know, they're not necessarily behind McCain either. Did it ever occur to them that some of them may very well be willing to vote for somebody who is independent, that they may look at it? You know, and the fact of the matter is, you know, they keep talking about this spoiler situation. Well, they didn't seem to mind it so much in 92 when Ross Perot ran. You didn't hear him crying about that then. You didn't hear him crying in 96 when Ralph Nader ran. And truthfully, you didn't really hear them crying about it in 2000. It was only after the Supreme Court awarded it to Bush, then they looked for a convenient scapegoat. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of listening to that.
Well, you make a good point, Scott. And I, you know, you get no argument from me, because I feel the same kind of frustration at times. I really do. Thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Got an email here from someone who didn't sign it. After 8 years of disappointments from the Democrats, making the decision to campaign for Obama, which I've done, feels a little like when I made the decision to enter a second marriage. It's the triumph of hope over experience. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Gang, again tonight, Ian Huff, who engineered the program, Billy Foster, our technical director, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Ben Birch, podcast manager, Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher, and Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. And remember, tomorrow night, Sam Cedar will be here, so enjoy. All right? I'll be back Monday, if I don't bleed to death. Or die from the anesthetic. Well, it's not really anesthetic. It's conscious sedation. That's always fun. Douglas is calling from Sacramento. Yes?
Hey, if it's good enough for Rush, conscious sedation.
Yeah, well, that's why they call him Rush. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Rush. Hey, Douglas. I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
I'm sorry.
Okay, first off, a late happy birthday to Kathy.
Oh, she just. Oh, that, yes.
Yeah, you this year or next year?
Well, I missed it for this year, so you can take it either way, I guess. But I was trying to get on practically all last month. But anyway.
Yes, you were. You're not that far off anyway. She appreciates it very much.
Yeah. First off, third party, that guy, he's right in theory, but if he's not willing to put years of his life into building up the Greens or the Independents or something.
I mean, about Scott from Federal Way who just was on the program.
I mean, he's right. He shouldn't have to apologize for a vote, but he shouldn't flaunt his petulance either. He probably doesn't think about third parties except when he doesn't like what's offered on the, you know, on the Democrat side. But it's going to take years. I mean, if you want a good third party, you have to start now, and it probably wouldn't be up and running until Kathy's old, or until Molly's old enough to vote.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that before. Of course, one can make the argument that, you know, the longest journey begins with a single step. Wait a minute, who said that? And therefore, it's time to start that third-party building, although a lot of people will argue that the framework is already there in the Green Party. There's also an independent. There are several political parties that are legally viable in this country. It's just that nobody knows it or nobody pays any attention to it.
It's going to take longer than people want to accept.
Well, that's true, too. Right.
And as far as McCain goes, he scares me. As a person with some mental defects myself, I can respect the fact that he went to Crazyville and came back.
Right.
I don't respect the fact that he apparently didn't learn anything, and he apparently went back to live on the other side.
He does. I get the same sense, not from the swift boating of McCain back in 2000, but if you ever watch him when he's taking questions, he's under a little stress at a press conference or whatever, there is a point, and it usually comes very quickly, where, you know, his jawline firms up, his lips pinch down into a thin line, his body language just says, I'm going to kill you within the next 10 seconds. That kind of freaks me out. Yeah.
Just the words I've gotten from him are enough to scare me. And while I was online here, I was listening. I had a revelation, Mike. You wanted some input into the religious aspect of this, I think, and I got it.
Yeah.
You see, the Islamic fundamentalists that are advocating bad slavery.
Right.
Our good Christian fundamentalists are advocating good slavery.
Uh-huh.
You see, we're all supposed to join. We're supposed to join this overgrown fertility cult of fundamentalist Christianity. And we're all supposed to marry and make good Christian babies. And in between, we get into biblical groupthink. And we all sit down, or kneel down, and worship at the altar of the Holy Sperm.
Well,
this is the revelation. This is the new beatific vision.
And you got that from holding on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All your quotes from Huckabee and then whatnot.
When are visiting hours over?
Oh, Kat, don't you get it? Are you so spiritually blind that you can't see it, Mike?
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing that's intriguing to me is that the Muslims and the Mormons and the Christians and the Jews, they all celebrate the same God. Hello?
Oh, yes. They say that. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, they do. They have the same text. I know the Book of Mormon kind of deviates off, a couple of solar systems, but you know, they claim to all be in the same, you know, they worship the same God.
Oh, but they call emphasize him, different parts.
Well, sure, but you know, they can call him Jehovah or Yahweh or Allah or whatever.
I mean, I can find you parts of the Bible where they say you're supposed to make the moral choices for yourself. But
no, we can't have any of that. Hey, listen, I got to leave you there. Thanks, Doug.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Man. Appreciate you checking in. Lloyd is calling from Framingham, Mass. Hey, Lloyd, welcome to the program.
How you doing? It's going to be the second time. I think I'm going to be the last caller.
Yeah, and you know the really funny part? You only have about 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I should just get you when you get back from whatever medical thing you're going to do.
I'm having a couple of implants done, teeth implants. Not.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Good luck. Well, okay, for 2 seconds, let's see. Well, we tried to get Ed Markey up here, our congressman, to meet for an impeachment thing. It took us 5 months of begging and pleading practically while our guys were dying.
Right.
He finally shows up at a meeting, and the top secret of the strategy of why he, the Nancy Pelosi Democrats aren't voting for impeachment or anything is because we have to wait until November of 08 for anything.
It's too late. Too late to impeach then. I mean, what's the point? Lloyd, I gotta leave it right there. I'm terribly sorry. You call in Monday and I'll put you on first. I swear I will. Y'all, be nice to Sam tomorrow. Have fun. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Keep it lit.